WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively into football season. I wish we had a good news final out of Vegas. I am back. I am not rested, which makes me a little more dangerous for our head coach here in charge of all. You know, I remember when you used to stand up here and take the fire when the team didn't play well, middle of the night in Las Vegas, Coach Billick. This is why John makes the big bucks, right? This is the week that the pressure's really on, I think, for everyone, right?
Yeah, because you go from this to now you got to play Kansas City at home, you know, and we'll be barraged with the statistical numbers of what 0-1 means for the playoffs versus 0-2 versus 0-3 versus 0-4. Not that the Ravens are headed that way, but we're going to hear those numbers. Now, it's a little bit different in that it's a 17-game schedule, and so we'll have to see what those numbers are. But the amount of pressure on this game is huge. And they're playing a darn good football team, all but at home, in Kansas City. So, yeah, that's what made the other night. And at the end of the day, it was a good game that came down to your quarterback fumbled in overtime, and that's going to get you beat. If you don't, you maybe move down the length of the field. You let Justin Tucker kick a field goal that you so often do, and you get a huge win on the road. And now all of a sudden, the mindset is totally different. So, it's going to be tough. And the fact that they got to play Kansas City now, but there were some good things in the game. Obviously, they ran the ball fairly well, given the fact that they depleted running back core. They held up in the first half against the talented Raiders team. But then the second half, the big plays, they gave up six plays of over 20 yards. When you go on the road, and they lost the turnover battle. You lose the big play and the turnover battle at home, let alone on the road, you're going to get beat.
He is our offense coordinator and head coach on behalf of the Living Classrooms Foundation, Brian Billick, back here and still watching the Ravens and still participating in some sort of far distant way. All right, let's talk offense. Let's talk about the offensive line and what you saw there. Running backs and coach in the post game. I said I had to figure out how to spell Latavius. He hadn't been here long enough. You know, is that an O or IUS? I'm thinking they don't even know each other. You've played football games in these circumstances. The Terry Allen story, you know, obviously comes up last week, and things that happened to Jamal now 20 years ago. Give me the challenges of those 5 days last week and trying to figure this thing out. And now where they go from here, because they have some set pieces now, but the offensive line's in tatters. It really is.
Well, and the tackles didn't play well. Now, they'll play better, but the tackles did not play well. Now, that Kansas City group, that Raider group is a good group. That's a good front four. And if you don't play well, they're going to expose you. And they did. But they'll play better. The good thing about the Ravens running game is it's based around Lamar. So, and I'm not saying you can just plug and play anybody, because to lose the running backs they did, that hurt. But they're going to have serviceable guys that, because of the threat of Lamar, how do they make their big plays? The play action pass. Linebackers are frozen because is Lamar keeping it, giving it, going inside, going outside? Oh, my God, the guy's in behind us, and now you've got Brown and Watson in behind you, and Andrews. So that's the formula, and the running backs that they'll have will be serviceable in that role. So I think the running game will be okay. The offense will be okay with the group of running backs they have.
Concerns about Lamar, at any point, first things first, the gold shoes, I'm watching this and I'm thinking to myself, you put more pressure on yourself and the kid sort of likes that. It's been 9 months, the demeanor of pounding the ground after a bad play, making big plays, passing first down, second down, third down. They sought to pass maybe more than they ought at this point.
Well, the game turned that way. And Lamar, I think we're at the point, and I think we made this point last year, Nestor, at the end of the season. People ought to recognize this is Lamar Jackson. Okay. He's not going to get any better in the pocket. He's not. And he's okay within the framework of what they're doing. And they're doing exactly what they ought to with Lamar.
You think they believe that? Is that a belief they share?
Yeah. I think they know in their hearts. I think the coaches know. Lamar may not. But the coaches know.
You've been watching this a long time, man. When you say something like that, in such an absolute way. I mean, I respect where you're coming from, but I also respect the part where, like, a guy like you and all the quarterback guys you ever had around you believe you can make guys better. At least you used to tell me you could make guys better.
I think Lamar, and that's the coach in you, but Lamar, and let me make it clear, what he's doing is good enough. But he is never, ever going to be that pocket presence. He's just, that's just not what he does, because he's too dynamic in the other things that he does. It doesn't lend itself. The best thing that could happen to Lamar Jackson is for the rule to pass, the league to pass a rule that says you cannot leave the pocket running the ball, period. So you have to throw the ball 50 times a game. Now, maybe he'd get better if he had to stay in the pocket, but he's so dynamic with the other things. He's going to be a 450 throw guy. Okay. And that fits perfectly with what they do. He's never going to be the 550, 600 throw guy that some of these other guys have to do.
Unless they're losing a lot.
Well, yeah, possibly. But yeah. And so the complete package, it is good enough. But this is Lamar. He was efficient. Now, notwithstanding the fumbles, obviously you can't do that. He missed some things, which he'll do. He's going to do. He's not going to have that efficient. He'll have good efficient games. But he's not going to be that guy that when he knows what's there and where he's going to go, he can deliver the ball very well. He's never going to be pick the pocket, drop in the pocket. Here's the read. Here's the progression. If he's not there, I'll go here. That's just not Lamar. And that's okay, because what he's doing is pretty darn good.
Where do you put Mark Andrews in all of this as far as, you know, you get the $56 million, the ball comes your way, you got to catch it. We've talked about the legacy of tight ends. You were one yourself back in the day, as I remember Brigham Young. And just the receiving core in general, where I have you on in February, we need wide receivers. I have you on in April, we got some wide receivers. I have you on in August, they're all hurt. And then we have you on in September, and they don't really want to pass the ball that much anyway. No. And if I don't know what they really expect when they get together. And I've asked John that question, and he's, you know, he punted on it. It's literally the only question I've asked him during the plague in 18 months was, what are the expectations of receiving and the receiving core in this offense?
You want the best players every position you can get. You'd love to have a number one wide receiver. And that's hard to come by in this league. A legitimate number one that dictates coverage.
You mean a guy that gets the ball 19 times like Waller the other night?
Well, yeah, exactly. And he clearly dominated. Correct. And there's only a handful of those guys. Their receiving core is good enough, particularly if you're a team that's going to throw the ball 450 times a year. Now, if you're going to throw it 600 times a year, you're going to be Drew Brees. Okay. You're going to be Aaron Rodgers. You're going to be Tom Brady. You need that core, because you're going to put the ball in the air enough that's the Ravens are not going to do that. Their receiving core is good enough. Could they get a better guy? Could the young rookie that they draft when he gets healthy add? Sure, it could. Sure, we'd love to have that. But their receiving core with Watson and Brown and Andrews is good enough to have an impact given what they're doing running the ball.
He is Brian Billick. He's our coach on behalf of Living Classrooms Foundation. All of our Wise conversations brought to you by our friends at Wise Markets. I've been running around the state on the crab cake tour. I owe you a crab cake, coach. You know, at some point here, I do. I ran into one of your young men, as you would say, number 20, not the number 20, Ed Reed, the pre-number 20, Kim Herring, and I ran. He's working for Clear. He literally got me into the stadium in Las Vegas, and I hear the reunion, like, may not be happening this year and all that.
These games and
this season and just having fans in the stadium. Coach, I was in Vegas, and I turned to Jamison Hensley, Jeff Zrebeck, where the only ones there up in the press box. It was open air in Vegas, so you could hear and feel the crowd. And I said, man, it feels like it's familiar, but it feels like it's been a long time, because it really does feel that way to me.
Watching the college games this weekend, you know, Iowa State, watching the Michigan game, Wisconsin, where my son-in-law got inducted into their Hall of Fame, which was great, on basketball.
The tall one.
Packed. I mean, you couldn't squeeze another body in there. It was great, you know, and notwithstanding the Delta variant and all that and all the things that were.
So you went to Camp Randall? You went to a game?
No. I was watching on TV. Okay, my son-in-law was, along with Bo Ryan and one other gentleman, got inducted to the Wisconsin Hall of Fame, which was great. Kim and I weren't able to go, but my daughter was there and my son-in-law, and they had a great time.
Madison's a great place now.
Camp Randall's awesome. And so I'm watching it, and the Michigan game with all the gold, you know, or the yellow or whatever it is you call it. That team up north. I live in Columbus now, so they're that team up north. The Ohio State game, just packed. And it was great to see. So, and I love that it's packed and the energy is there. And so it does feel like it's great to be back.
All right. Kansas City this week. I don't know where the level of expectation we talk about Lamar's kryptonite, where this franchise is right now with injuries and all these things, bad things happening, 0-1, short rest, all of the history. Where do you put this and what has to happen here to sort of kickstart this thing? And certainly the Chiefs are the Chiefs. They're going to come in and they look to be as formidable as they've ever been. They got our tackle playing too.
It's ridiculous to say, but I'll say it because I can do that now. You talk about a must win in the second week of the season. There's a whole bunch of them this week. Green Bay has a must win against Detroit. Okay. The Vikings have to get a win against the Cardinals. Buffalo has to get a win against Miami.
Browns lost.
And who knows? You know, obviously go. But what we talked about, what are we going to start hearing with every week? Here's what 0-1 means. Here's what 0-2 means. Now, and we'll get to the 0-3 and 0-4 and one time in 50 has a team, and then coaches will say, okay, we're going to be that 1-50. Okay, I get that. I'm there. I'm down with that. But this is a big game. And I never thought these words would ever come out of my mouth. They need to emulate the Cleveland Browns. Cleveland playing pretty good in Kansas City. Okay, they ran the ball very well, over 150 yards, and they limited Kansas City to one play, one pass play, over 20 yards. That's what the Ravens have to do. Run the ball, don't give up the big play, passing. And ultimately, that's what got them against the Raiders, wasn't it? Because they had six plays of over 20 yards that they gave up big plays down the field. And with a depleted secondary, it's tough. But those are the two things that you got to watch for. The Ravens have to, and they're capable of doing it. And 0-2 for the Ravens, it's not the end of the season. It's different than maybe some other teams, but it ain't good.
Well, if I was going to go into Billick speak, I would call those explosives. And, you know, correct. Above 20 yards, it's correct. That's an explosive. See, I was paying attention in your press conferences,
were.
Coach. I wasn't all that bad a student. Six of these big plays, when this happens, this isn't just Marlon Humphrey or just the backside. This is the pass rush. This is underneath. This is tackles. These are blown assignments. But more than that, this was supposed to be the strength of the team. I mean, seeing these preseason games, which I saw you begged off of, there's Mike Nolan and Rod Woodson up there doing the preseason games down the three in August. You know, and watching those games, we didn't see the offense. So there was no, you know, we only have the report card from Monday night. But the defense, the report card, John's won 20 games in August and all of that good stuff. The defense disappoints me, especially when Tucker comes out, breaks their heart. There's 30 seconds left to go in the game. All you got to do is get off the field, and then you're still playing football. Then the Raiders self-destructed in several occasions to give them an opportunity, and they still couldn't make it happen. I'm worried more about the defense than the offense. I expected problems with the offense. The defense, I thought 27 points should have won the game.
Yeah, they're going to be solid on defense. The problem they have is they're depleted in the secondary, which hurts. I mean, talent hurt. You know, the next man up mentality. The problem is the next man up's not as good as the first guy. Because if he were, he'd be in there to begin with. And that's just true.
In your book 15 years. When I asked you to say next man up, you didn't come in. Give me the rest of the disclaimer.
That's the mentality I have. But that's the facts of life. The next man up isn't as good as the original guy. The pass rush, again, they will generate it in the typical way the Ravens do. And they did get some one-on-one matchups. There was one nice matchup where they put five down, created the one-on-one matchups with the offensive line, and both Houston and McPhee won. But they don't have that dominant guy, that guy that you can say, okay, if we create a matchup one-on-one, this guy will win every time. They don't have that guy. So they've got to manufacture the Queen blitz, where they turn the protection the wrong way and Queen runs through unblocked. Well, that's a great sack, but the guy was unblocked, okay? They had two defensive linemen, and there was no one to take the Queen. So they'll generate that. But the problem is with the secondary depleted, with Marcus Peters gone, and we'll see when Jimmy Smith comes back, that's a challenge because you have to commit more people to the rush than you want to which writes some checks that maybe the back end's going to have a tough time cashing. So that's going to be, and they've stepped up and done it before. It was the same last year, but they were much healthier in the secondary last year. So you're right. That's got to be the concern.
Head coach Brian Billick joining us here on behalf of Living Classrooms Foundation and our friends at Raskin Global, as well as Royal Farms, even though it's not Chicken Palooza anymore. I'm still eating the chicken. Coach, just on the pass rush and getting to the quarterback and where that is, you say that it's not manufactured. To me, this was a game where Carr comes up to the line of scrimmage, is trying to figure things out, and Wink is multiple. And being multiple is about having the whole unit together so that you don't blow an assignment. Right. With Wink scheming this thing up and trying to get after Mahomes, I mean, we said if you can't stop Darren Waller, what chance are you going to have against Kelsey? In Mahomes, key to stopping him, obviously getting after him and getting to him before he gets rid of the ball, very difficult to do.
Right, the back end. And it's understandable with the injuries they had, that back end and some of the miscommunication, I'm guessing, went on. I don't know. But I'm guessing there was some, you got him, I'll take him going on, that all of a sudden, oh, wait a minute, who's got that guy? That's going to happen when, because think about it, the secondary, you talk about the communication that has to go on. That's the most difficult synchronization you have on the field because of the sheer spans of the field, the way these guys have to communicate. Offensive linemen communicate with another, quarterback communicates with the line, maybe the receivers, but the secondary has to communicate the entire breadth and width of the field. And when you're not used to one another, you have some young players in there, that subtlety of the wink nod, yeah, I know you got this, I got that. Then when you make a mistake, you make a mistake on offense, you punt. You make a mistake in the secondary, it's break out the band and bring on the PAT team, right? So that's part of it. That's part of the quick growth that has to happen, because Kansas City will stretch that in a way that few teams can.
You know, Coach, your critics, and there were a few, would say you're a little pass happy, you love tight ends. Targeting a guy 19 times, right? Like, how many times did that happen in your career where you target a guy? I mean, the Waller show and the fact that you know going in – this is where it's going to be. And I would say the same thing with Kansas City. You know they're going to Kelsey in every situation that you can't stop it. Now, they stopped it a little bit earlier, but the Raiders really went to him, and he's their guy. And that's an unusual sight to see.
To a degree, but then what happens? You get so focused on that, then the game-winning touchdown, I forget the guy's name.
Zay Jones,
right.
Yep.
Because now, and Kansas City, that's the problem. If you choose to focus on one asset, it's always, that was the beauty of that 98 team I had. We had an answer for everything. You want to stop the run with Robert Smith? Great. I got Chris Carter. I got Randy Moss. I've got Jake Reed. You want to stop Chris Carter? You can stop Chris Carter, but I'm going to kill you with Randy Moss. You want to stop Randy Moss? You can shut Randy Moss down, but I'm going to kill you with Chris Carter and Jake Reed. So they had that answer that, okay, we're going to stop Waller in this situation. Okay, I got these other guys we're going to hit. So that's the ultimate problem with Kansas City. You want to shut down Travis Kelce? You can shut him down. I can shut Travis Kelce down to zero catches, but Hill and the other guys are going to throw for 500 yards. Okay. Cause you can't stop them all. And that's the difficulty with Kansas City.
Well, look, man, I'm not going to call you every time they lose. Okay. I'm going to try to call you after some victories as well. I miss you.
Yes,
I owe you at least one crab cake, if not two or three. I thought of you many times on the Eastern Shore.
And I got to tell you, we got some people. I'm up in the lake house up here in the north woods of Minnesota near the Canadian boundary water. And we flew in a crab cake dinner for about 20 people from Fadley's.
Okay.
Fadley's, excuse me. They were blown away. It was now it cost me a fortune, but they had the
best.
That's
where we are this summer.
They never had crab cakes like that. It was a great night.
I went down to Cambridge, the whole Eastern Shore. And I mean, you spent so much time on the Eastern Shore and you always gave me the Michener and all that. I had been down your road off of, toward the Wye River many, many times. Love that little road. But other than your house and a destination, a couple of handful of times, I didn't get off 50 much. And one thing, and I brought this up with the governor last week when the governor sat down and had our 30th crab cake about Wi-Fi off of the roads and what works and what doesn't work. I'm thinking you and Kim riding a bike somewhere, like trying to get a text out. Impossible. But I'll say this, what a beautiful, beautiful state Maryland is. And you would tell me this as the foreign guy from California, but
phenomenal.
I really gained an appreciation in August for how beautiful our state is.
Boating the Chesapeake and just biking the Delmarva, nothing better.
Well, we'll get you back here sometime soon. We'll get you back. If it's not for reunions, it's for good football and television. I love you. Appreciate you. Head coach Brian Billick, our partner. You can find him out at Coach Billick out on Twitter and somewhere between Columbus and Minnesota and the Eastern Shore of Maryland. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking Baltimore positive.